grace is that grace that's working in your life, that's causing you to love the unlovely. It's the grace of God that's upon you right now that keeps wooing you back to fellowship with Him. It was not you. Stop talking about how good at two-shoe you were. God knew every thought that was in your mind. God, it's your grace. It's your grace. It's your grace. And that grace is empowering. And even like David, David understood in 1 Samuel 30. And I'm going to just briefly recap it. David came to Ziklag. Ziklag was part of his inheritance. God promised David Ziklag. When you become king, you're going to have all of these cities and all of these possessions will be yours. David was a fighter. He was a warrior. He was a worshiper. He had a dual anointing. He could worship, but at the same time, he could war. David was the only king in Israel that never lost a battle. The only battle David lost was in his flesh. But he was a mighty man of God. Still today, the Jews honor David as king. As a matter of fact, they really honor David and Abraham more than they do Jesus. Most of them do. Okay? David had a high position in God's plan. He had a great significance in the plan of God. But there came a point where David, when he returned to Ziklag, he saw everything God gave him was stolen. He lost everything. He lost everything. And David got to a point that it really, really infuriated him, to a point where this warrior began to cry with everything within him. See, it's one thing to be tough and to be buff and to appear before people as this great and mighty warrior, but there are some things in life that when it hits you, it will bring you to your knees. Yes. If it happened to David, it can happen to anybody. Yes. And he began to weep, and the people surrounding him began to weep. The Bible says they wept until they had no more power to weep. How many of you ever wept like that? Yes. I mean, this thing was just so hurtful. This thing was just so disappointing. You just could not cry another tear. You had to deal with the frustration. You had to deal with the pain. That's an unbearable pain if it's not for God's grace. The Bible says that the people even spake of stoning David. The same ones that he led out of their caves. The same one that he began to teach and train. David took these 400 rejected men and turn them into a mighty army. Train them. I mean, demonstrated some things and how to overcome and how to survive. And the same ones that he helped ended up wanting to stone him. What do? The people you train, the people you teach, the people you pray for, the people you intercede for, the people you encourage, end up wanting to stone you. Because you did not come through for them in a time that they thought. We got to be in a position where you are empowered and stay in a place of strength. Yes. When they started picking up the stones to throw it at David, David said, hold up, give me the ephod. Tell somebody, say, give me the ephod.
Give me the ephod.
That is very important. Some of you may not know what the ephod is. The ephod was the priestly garment that only the priest wore when he was about to have a holy encounter with God. It was the only part. Amen. The ephod, not the kings could not wear the ephod. The prophets could not wear the ephod. Only the priests could wear the ephod. See, David had such a special place with God. Amen. David was not just king, but he was prophet and priest as well. He said, give me the ephod. I'm about to turn my pity into prayer.
This concludes our message for today. Thank you for supporting John Barton Ministries, where we are committed to changing lives and changing futures. You can secure a copy of today's message in its entirety on CD by calling 1-888-727-8900. Order today and watch the Word of God change your life. If you're ever in the Lafayette area, we invite you to join us for a life-changing experience at New Kingdom Ministries International, the place where new life begins. Services are currently held at the Holiday Inn Holodome on 2032 Northeast Evangeline Thruway in Lafayette, Louisiana. Service times are every Sunday morning at 9 and every Tuesday evening at 7. For more information on upcoming events, to sow a financial seed, or if you would like to partner with Dr. John Barton, call us today at 1-888-727-8900 or visit our website at johnbartonministries.org. Thank you for listening. And remember, if you can leave your history, you can live your destiny now.
Do you want to be part of a life-giving ministry that's making a difference in the lives of people all over the world? Then become a Living Your Destiny partner with John Barton Ministries. With your faithful prayers and monthly financial support, you can help us change more lives with the message of faith and destiny. When you partner today, you will also take part in our special benefit package given only to Covenant partners. For more information and to become a Living Your Destiny partner, call 1-888-727-8900 or visit online at johnbartonministries.org. Thank you for your generous support.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuned into the Deceptions of Satan radio broadcast with Brother Leon Gaspy. Listen now as Brother Gaspy enlightens you about the different ways Satan may deceive us in our walk with Christ.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to have this program, and I ask you to give me the courage to speak the words that you give me to speak in the way you would have me to speak. This I ask in the name of your firstborn Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good afternoon. This is Brother Gaspy. Anyway, today we're still talking about the deceptions of Satan. And it's been on my spirit to share with you about some things going on in the church. And one of the things that I can really talk about is the fact about the homosexuals. Now, I don't have anything against homosexuality. I have some very good friends. As a matter of fact, I had a stepson that was a homosexual. But what this incident I wanted to share with you today, to let you know that even homosexuals, whatever you want to call it, they are still God's people. God made them and he loves them just as much as he loves you, the Pope, or anybody else. And this incident happened in Las Vegas. Stepson, I'd been talking to him about going to church, and finally talked him into going to church one Sunday. And the preacher got up and preached, and his thing was on homosexuality, and he said that it was impossible for a gay man or woman to be saved. And I thought I was going to have to, you know, take the boy to the hospital or something. He went, it just knocked everything out of him. When we got in the car going back home, I said, boy, don't you believe a thing that preacher said. That's not just the way I said it, because I hadn't been saved too long myself. You know, like I said, I'm from the streets. And I said, don't you believe a thing he said. I said, because Jesus said that whosoever will, let him come. Now, he didn't say if you was heterosexual or this other, bisexual or whatever. He said, whosoever. I said, now, if you're not a whosoever, then you can't be saved. And the reason for telling you this story is the fact that a few years later, my st- stepson died from the AIDS. But before he died, he did get saved. And he died praying in tongues. And my wife said she didn't want nothing to do with God because, you know, if he didn't want her son, she didn't have nothing to do with him. But she eventually got saved too. And in spite of the fact that she was angry with God because her son died and all that other stuff. But anyway, I'm just trying to let you know that God loves you, and don't let Satan or your pastor or nobody else talk you into believing that God don't love you because of your sexual preference. You see, because actually, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God according to the Bible. And we all have been into some things. Matter of fact, I would advise you to read the 18th chapter of Leviticus. And whoever would tell you that, tell them to read the 18th chapter of Leviticus, then come back and talk to you. Because, see, in that chapter, God, it said all of these sexual sins is an abomination to God. But now, like I said in another program, God has his way of doing things, and we have our way. See, we judge people by what we see and what we think, but God judges you by your heart. You got some good-hearted people that are homosexual. Matter of fact, I know I have some friends, I mean good friends of mine that were homosexual in my profession. Hairdressing, I had quite a few. And we used to socialize together and things, or people even tried to put me in a category. But it didn't make no difference what people think. What they think is one thing, and what you know is another. And if you learn to accept what God has made you, and thank God for what he has made you, and ask God to give you some understanding of his way and his word, find out from... And I learned this, a lot of it, from reading the Bible. Actually, some of it I learned from just being in the streets and knowing people, meeting people. And I learned to, like I said before, I learned to respect all men, but not be intimidated by any. Now, I've never been much of a copycat. Usually I was setting my own standards. But there's nothing wrong with being different. God didn't make us all just alike, and there's no point in me trying to be just like you, and you be just like me, but be the best you can be. Then nobody can beat you being you. And there's no competition in being you. They might do something better than you do it. Like when I was a hairdresser, there was a lot of people I worked with I know could beat me doing hair as far as I was concerned. I thought they were way better than me, but I still had people who were paying me. So I didn't whine about it. If you think what you want to think, I'd cry all the way to the bank. So it's you learn, like I said before, spend half of your time minding your business and the other half leaving other people's alone, and you come out all right. You come out with very few knots on your head, especially the way it was when I was in the street. That's what mostly what life is about. The Bible tells you that. You know, if you can't help a brother, don't hurt him. Don't try to put a stumbling block in nobody's way, even though you may not like them. The Bible tells us to love one another. But he didn't say we had to like everything each other do. Now, I got some people that I really love and don't like and can't stand some of their ways. God is like that. God loves people, but he hates sin. And we all sin in either word, deed, or thought, one way or the other. I mean, nobody can say they're without sin, even those people that think they're living, I live holy, I'm free from sin. Yeah, okay, yeah, go ahead, you're right. But, if we would just learn to accept people as they are. And if you can't help